This is Amerinds. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 35 of my podcast. My name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American now living in New Zealand. It's Friday, August 24th, 2007. I begin today's episode by updating earlier topics. That's at 1 minute 58 seconds. Then, at 7 minutes 47 seconds, I talk about the extended topic for today, which is New Zealand's local elections. Finally, it's comments at 15 minutes and 5 seconds. You know, the reason I started doing these timestamps, or whatever you call them, is because a few episodes back, I accidentally screwed up the date. So it's ironic that on the Tuesday episode, I should screw up the date again, even though I was re-recording it in order to put in the timestamps. But there you go. The opening track today was by a terrible new recording artist, me. It was the first thing that I did with GarageBand. I was just putting together half a dozen or so Apple loops to see what resulted. Now, you don't have to say anything, because I know it's shite. The truth is, I think GarageBand works best for people who actually know something about music, which I clearly don't. Anyway, last time I mentioned playing around with Apple loops and GarageBand, so I thought I'd share my very first effort. Actually, the way things are going, I may just be able to spend each podcast updating information from previous podcasts. For example, on Tuesday, I talked about how staff at Air New Zealand apparently edited Wikipedia to make the airline look better in the Wikipedia entry about the Mount Erebus crash in Antarctica back in 1979. Well, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, it turns out that people in Australia's Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet made 126 changes to Wikipedia articles to remove things that, well, I don't know, they're supposed to be perceived damaging to the government of the current Prime Minister, John Howard. But there were people in Australia's Defense Department that made 5,000 edits. And apparently a lot of them had nothing to do with Australia as such, including one on the entry about the Pentagon Papers. The Sydney Morning Herald article said, and this is a direct quote, "Other curious, though apparently non-political edits were by department employees include adding sentences on various sites, including the additions, quote, Freemasonry is the work of Satan, close quote, and, quote, Mormonism is the work of Satan, and Jesus is God. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not political? Anyway, at the same time in Canada, it's been revealed that parliamentary computers were used to add anti-gay comments to Wikipedia articles, primarily about gay marriage, as you'd expect. So this sort of thing is just spreading like wildfire. And the thing that amazes me about this whole Wikipedia story is that none of these people apparently ever realized that their work could be traced back to them. Now, you can sort of understand that for just somebody from some little group or whatever, some wingnut or what have you, not realizing the full implication. But you would think that people in the CIA and the FBI would be smart enough to realize that their work could be traced back to them. I don't know. It's either they didn't care or they were arrogant or I don't know what it was, but it certainly doesn't inspire much confidence in, certainly not in the FBI and CIA, if they didn't work out that someday their work might be traced back to them. Anyway, also in the update section, back in episode 33, I talked about the religious right in New Zealand, and I mentioned in passing that a secretive right-wing Christianist group tried to influence the 2005 New Zealand general election. What they did basically is they spent over $1 million on an advertising smear campaign directed against the Labour and Green parties. Well, that group is called the Exclusive Brethren, and they're a male-controlled sect that forbids its members to vote, attend university, have TVs, radios, personal computers, mobile phones, They're also banned from contact with family members who leave the church. So they're a bit odd. They're stridently opposed to same-sex marriage and gay rights in general. In general, you know, they take positions, as you'd expect, on social issues the same as any other far-right Christian group. But their opposition to homos is one of the most noticeable motivating factors that they've got. Well, one of the things that cost the New Zealand National Party, which is our conservative party, the last election, was the fact that it had frequent dealings with the group. The party was allegedly fully aware of the group's plans and may even have consulted with them for the maximum effect, you know, to make sure that the message was the same, those sorts of things. Well, New Zealanders don't like politicians who lie, as Don Brash, who's the leader of the National Party at the time, did about his dealings with the group. He said he never met with them, then had to admit that he did, and all these sorts of things. Well, New Zealanders also don't like underhanded, sneaky, secretive campaign tactics, which these clearly were, and it was one of the factors that ended up in the National Party's defeat. The group also allegedly hired private investigators to try to dig up dirt on New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark and other senior Labour Party ministers, apparently unsuccessfully, but they did try all the same. The group has interfered in elections around the world, including the US, and especially in Australia. And at the moment, they're under police investigation for possibly illegally spending some $370,000 Australian dollars on elections there. As it happens, the group's materials in the 2005 New Zealand elections were actually adapted from materials they'd already used in Australia. Well, they're back in the news. The Australian Prime Minister John Howard met with them recently, and other members of his government have as well. Howard defended meeting with them. He said that they were basically an ordinary Christian group, which is hardly the case. Opposition leader Kevin Rudd, who's the leader of the Australian Labour Party, called the group an extremist cult and refused to meet with them. Now, in New Zealand, they've been called a cult, they've been called weird, and they've been called all sorts of things, but they've never been called ordinary or normal or been treated in precisely the same way that the Howard government is, apart from one member of the National Party who has taken the same attitude as John Howard. But as John Howard gets ready for the next Australian elections, he's been courting far-right Christian voters a lot lately. And maybe he just sees that as part of the process, even if the group is a little bit too weird for even mainstream right-wing Christians. Which, in a roundabout sort of way, brings me to the extended topic for today. New Zealand is now at the start of campaigns for the local government elections. And for the benefit of new listeners, and welcome every one of you, New Zealand has a few layers of elected government. First is local government, which is the towns and cities and rural districts. A rural district might be quite large geographically, but might not have very many people in it, whereas obviously cities might be smaller and have a lot more people, which stands to reason. Sometimes these districts or cities or what have you are divided into community boards, which have certain limited powers, and it does vary from place to place, so I can't give an overall view of what they do. And in point of fact, I suspect that most people have no idea what the community boards do, but that's just me. I actually intend to find out. On top of several local government areas or territories or whatever, there are regional councils. Now, the regional councils deal mainly with environmental management, also sometimes things like transportation or something like that. But they have no authority over local government. They can't overrule it or anything like that. It's not in any way analogous to a state government or provincial government. It's nothing like that at all. It, in some ways, takes care of the things that are too big for individual local councils to deal with in some ways, like environmental management, for instance. Now, on top of everything, of course, is the national government, which is made up of parliament, and that has only one house, and it does have the power to overrule local government or regional councils, although sometimes it would require passing a special law. But basically, all of the councils are created by parliament, and they can be disestablished by parliament as well. The actual campaign for local government lasts 8 weeks. In fact, election signs, which are called hoardings in New Zealand, can't be put up until 8 weeks before the election, and they must be removed before Election Day, which is technically Saturday, October 13. I say technically because the voting in local elections is done by mail, and the ballots are due by noon on that day. So in practical terms, it means that all the election signs have to be down by Friday, October 12th. Of course, to me, this is a major thing. The rules are actually similar for national elections, which are also held on Saturdays, but you know they're done with traditional paper ballots, not by by mail. But this business of the signs having to come down was a real dramatic change for me when I arrived in New Zealand, because I was used to signs being up for months, in some cases years, in Illinois. I mean, I remember being in downtown Chicago on State Street or somewhere, looking up on a fairly tall building, way up on, painted on the brick, was a sign that said Tully, Assessor. And I think another one was for P.J. Cullerton or something like that. Somebody from Chicago might have a better memory of that than I do. But, I mean, they were election signs that were, I think, from the 1960s or 70s or something, and they were there 20, 30 years later. Nothing like that can happen in New Zealand. And I found that a very refreshing change to have those stupid things down. There are penalties if the signs aren't removed, including financial penalties, by the way. Anyway, in local elections, most of the councils use the traditional first-past-the-post system, which means that whoever gets the most votes wins. It's used by quite a lot of places. But some councils and many district health boards use a preferential voting system, and it's called single transferable vote, or STV. And it's the system that's used in Australia. And I'd love to explain it, but I don't understand it myself. So I'll have to wait for another time to explain that. But essentially what it means is, instead of just voting for the one person you want to win, you sort of rank them according to the person you most want to win, and then if that person doesn't get through, the next, and so on, as I understand it. But I'm going to come back to that. And actually, what I hope to do is I hope to have Nigel back on, because he lived in Australia for a time, and he'd be far better able to explain this than I am, even if I did understand it, which I don't. Now, the national system is another system altogether, but that's a topic for later on when the national elections are a bit closer, because otherwise it just would get too confusing. The main issues in local election center around rates, which are similar to property taxes in America. However, police, fire, schools, things like that are all paid from national taxes, not local taxes. Instead, the local rates go for things like maintaining streets, parks and recreation, managing building process, you know, like permits and what inspections and whatnot, you know, those sorts of things, dogs. Those are the kinds of things that local governments look after. Now, I have no idea who I'll vote for in any of the upcoming races. At the moment, I'm leaning toward the current mayor of our city. I don't think he's done that bad a job. As it happens, he was the one who handed me my citizenship certificate when I became a New Zealand citizen. But that's not why. That's not why I'm supporting him. I don't know anything about the others at this stage, and I know that some of them are just the grumpy people who don't like the way their taxes basically are being spent, and they're not running with a vision or a plan. They just are running as a negative thing, and I don't vote for people just out of negative reasons. At least not in this case. Oh, by the way, speaking of voting, in New Zealand, permanent residents as well as citizens are required to register to vote. The voting itself is, of course, optional. In American terms, it's like citizens and people with green cards having the right to vote. And I thought that was really interesting when I first moved here, because I'd never even considered that as a possibility. But it makes a lot of sense, because a permanent resident is a person who's made a long-term commitment to a country. And essentially what New Zealand is saying is that those people should have a say in what happens. And it makes perfect sense to me. Other people think that it should be restricted only to citizens, but there are certain things that only citizens can have, like a New Zealand passport, for instance, running for public office and those sorts of things. And actually, I joked about running for local elections, running in the local elections myself. My slogan was going to be, he couldn't possibly do any worse. But somebody suggested it should be, he's not a total fuckwit. But of course, neither slogan's necessary, because I'm not running for any office. Not yet, anyway. Anyway, that's the background on the upcoming local elections. I'm hoping that in the weeks ahead I can bring more personal perspective to the elections, and maybe even talk to a person or two. But that's all up in the air at this stage. There's still a few weeks to go in the campaign, so, hey, anything could happen. And And now it's on to the comments for this week. I'd like to go all the way back to episode 33, because there have been a couple of new comments since I recorded on Tuesday. And first up was Frank, who said, "Arthur, you are great at hitting the nail on the head. The ever-increasing aggregation of citizen information is of no use in securing our country. Call me overly paranoid, but I feel the collection of all this information is for the exclusive use of the Republican National Committee, Watergate on a grand scale. I don't really care when you post, as long as you continue to post. You really are very articulate on some very important topics. Love your podcast. Keep it up. Thanks, Frank." And I said, I don't think you're paranoid. They say knowledge is power, and the more information, knowledge, government has about ordinary people, the more power they have. To me, information should only be gathered and collected for legitimate and relevant reasons. Bush saying it's needed simply isn't good enough. Thanks for the kind words." And I do thank Frank for that. I was really quite chuffed when I read that comment. Next up is Robert, a.k.a. Itty2870. I'd love to ask him why it's a.k.a. Itty2870, but anyway. He said, "I'm catching up on podcasts. I've been way behind. I missed the poll, the one about how often I should podcast, but keep posting twice a week. I really enjoy learning about New Zealand, and the talk shows you do with others are so interesting. Hope all is well. By the way, I have a little guy named Jake as well. He's a fierce 8-pound chihuahua. Nice job picking a great name for a dog. Take care, Robert." I said, "Thanks for the feedback. I really do appreciate it. Jake is a good name, but ours is roughly 11 U.S. pounds. He's 5 kilograms and growing. Now, there is a bit of a story to how Jake got his name, and I'm not sure how much I mentioned it before, and I didn't think to go back and check earlier podcasts if I mentioned it at all. But essentially, it came about as a bit of a joke, because Jake is a Cavoodle, which is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel Poodle cross. And because he was part poodle, we were joking that his name should be Jacques. Isn't French poodle. Ha ha ha, very funny. Well, that became Jake. And as it happens, as has been noted before, most of our pets have names that are in some way related to Star Trek. My cat's name is Curzon, for Curzon Dax. And that's a Star Trek character. Another family cat is called Sisko for Commander, well, actually Captain Sisko. And a friend's cat was called Odo. Another friend's cat was called Martok. So there's a lot of this sort of Star Trek-related character, mostly from Deep Space Nine, interestingly. So we looked at Jake and for a name, and we couldn't use Sisko because that was already taken. And so this is sort of indirectly related because Captain Sisko's son is called Jake Sisko. And that's actually not entirely relevant because it's not really how the name came about. It's one of those things that sort of happened. Our niece had misheard what we were going to call him and thought we'd said Jake all along, and the name just sort of stuck. So there's all of this background information that sort of goes with that, that was sort of added on top of it, I suppose you could say. Well, next it's on to episode 34 from Tuesday, called Knox. And Archie said, "I'm first. I hope the kitty cat is feeling better. I'm thinking about you. Good luck with the deck. Sounds like it's quite an undertaking. Podcasting Tuesdays and Fridays would be wonderful, but don't overdo it. Just podcast when you can. While your dollar is losing value, my 401k is dropping as well. I feel your pain at the pump, too. Congrats on the new iMac. Now I expect to see a video from time to time because you have the video camera built in. You have no excuse not to make a video now. I voted for you because you're the only Kiwi on that list that I know." Actually, the voting that he's talking about is the current poll on my blog, which is Who's Your Favorite Kiwi? And I come to think of it, I suppose in a way I am running for something. But I'll come back to that in a minute. Anyway, I said in response, I said, "You know, I did play with the EyeSight camera, but it didn't occur to me to do a video. Or is that iVideo? We'll have to talk." Because, of course, Archer's done videos. And I said, "Thanks for the good wishes." And Calvin said, "You Macalites make me sick. Puke! I'm still impressed with the editing. Sorry to hear that you and your Aussies are having so much difficulty. That's terrible news by Les Chats. Hopefully things will turn out for the best. It's horrible how you guys are just having bad pet luck." And I said, "Your illness is shared by Mike Hip. Perhaps you need an eye cure?" I said, I'm not all that fanatical about Macs, though I have been in the early 1990s. I just want the best system for the things that I want to do, and with years of experience on both platforms, Mac is simply better. I did the best I could with my PC, but I can do more and better stuff with Mac. That's really all there is to it, so far anyway. Said, we've been wondering about our run of bad luck with pets, and why some other less suitable carers, shall we say, seem to have no trouble at all. Maybe this is the end of the run of bad luck, which is, of course, what we're hoping for. And actually, I've been back and forth about wondering how Curzon has been doing. He seems a bit better today. He's certainly been eating more, which makes me happy because I didn't think he was eating anywhere near enough the past few days. He came inside for a while today and slept in the bedroom, which he hasn't done for a while. He stayed outside all day long up until now. So I suppose that's encouraging as well. But thanks for the good wishes, everyone. And finally was Michael in Stuttgart, his Advok, who said, actually, I do know some people in New Zealand, but my favorites are, of course, Arthur and Nigel. Why isn't he on the poll? I'm sending good vibrations for your cat. They have 9 lives, haven't they? And I said, well, Nigel isn't on the list because I figured he'd win hands down. I know I would have voted for him instead of me. Just quietly, I have it on good authority that Nigel cast the first vote for me. We appreciate kind words about our cat. Vielen Dank, mein Freund. And I'm not entirely joking about that. If I'd put Nigel on there, he probably would have gotten more votes. But the truth of the matter is that I put my name on there just as I was being a bit cheeky, because I'm the only one on the list who's not born in New Zealand. And if I had, at least I think I am, anyway, if I'd put Nigel on the list, that would have been different. And I was also being a bit cheeky putting my name in the list with people who are famous. Now, if you don't know who all of the other people are, Archer, all will be revealed on Tuesday when I give the results of the poll. But I have to admit, I would have been disappointed if I hadn't gotten any votes at all after putting myself on the list, because, I mean, come on. I gave people the opportunity to vote for as many people as they wanted. I certainly expected to get a few votes. But what I noticed was that I was getting unanimous support. There was somebody who voted for Peter Jackson and me. But then I noticed that there were 2 votes for Sir Edmund Hillary, two people who apparently voted for Sir Edmund Hillary who didn't vote for me, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, where's my vote? But no, I'm just kidding. It's all a bit of fun. I have no idea who's voting for me and who's not, but if you're not voting for me, I will seek you down and hunt you like a dog. And that's it for this Friday episode. Do take part in the poll on my blog, amrins.blogspot.com. I'll put up a new one on Tuesday, and of course I'll announce the results of this poll in the Tuesday podcast. But it's completely anonymous. It's just a bit of fun and means absolutely nothing. And if there's something that you'd like to see me poll about, or is that the phrase? Take a poll on? Whatever. You can either leave a comment on my blog at amrins.blogspot.com, or you can send an email to me at amrins@yahoo.com. And that's it for this week, everybody. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back on Tuesday with more. Bye.